First of all, just like you said, just for your hospitality to us, and you guys have been a huge blessing to us. I'm just getting to know each and every one of you, getting to serve alongside of you, getting to know you guys, getting to hang out with you guys, and you guys have been more than a blessing to us. We have a place to live. We have food on our table. It's really more than we deserve, and we haven't really paid for any of it, and that's all thanks to you guys that you guys have just given, and you've given of your time, you've given of your money, and you've just invested in us. And we're so thankful for that. I just wanted to say that before I started. But if you guys have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 8. I believe, yes, Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to read a few verses here. Starting in verse 11, Isaiah says, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to utter darkness." I didn't really have a title for this message before we got here tonight, but Daisy told me that she hates when preachers don't have titles for their messages. So I came up with one really quick. It was kind of like a subtitle thought for me that we're kind of taught in homiletics how to come up with that. But it's dealing with fear in a godly way. Because fear it's a part of life. It's something that we're all going to deal with. And in this passage, there's two ways that people deal with fear. You have the disciples you have Isaiah and the other disciples that are there in Judah, and then you have the people of Judah, the wicked people in Judah, how they deal with their fear. But I want to just talk to us a little bit tonight about how to deal with fear in a godly way. I'll pray and then we'll get into the message. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we're just thankful for how you speak to us through your word, Lord, how you've spoken to me. And God, I just pray that you'd help me to bring your message to your people tonight. Lord, I pray that they'd have open hearts. Lord, I pray that you just even work in my heart as well, Lord, as you just speak through me. Lord, I pray that you just move here tonight. I pray also in Jesus' name, amen. So the fight or flight reflex is something that is innate in all living creatures that are animate and that can move around. Not like a tree does not have a fight or flight reflex, but if you've ever watched the TV show that has like the animals or whatever, I forget what it's, yeah, Discovery. You see these videos of like either gazelles or impalas, and they're wandering around in the deserts of Africa, and you see they show a lion, and this lion's stalking the impala or the gazelle, and as soon as that gazelle senses or sees that lion, boom. That gazelle takes off running because he is scared of that lion, and rightfully so. If I saw a lion too, I'd run, but I probably wouldn't make it very far. You have that, you have the flight, and you have the fight. Just like the lion can chase the gazelle, or the gazelle runs from the lion, if a wild pack of hyenas runs up on a lion, that lion typically stays there and tries to fight its way out. Because I'm not sure, but I don't think a lion can outrun a hyena. I think hyena is maybe a little faster than a lion is. But that lion will stay there and try to fight. And most times the lion would lose unless there's another lion around that would help it. But that fight or flight instinct is something that is it's the physical response that we have as humans or animals. They have a physical response to fear. But there's also a spiritual response to fear. And from what I've read in this passage and from what I see in most situations in people's lives, it's either they will look to God to help them with their fear, and they will lift Him up and say, God, You can help me with this, and I'll just rely on You. Or they typically turn to sin, and they do something that is sinful. You think of David, whenever he's fearful of Saul, he's running from Saul, he goes to Gath, which is the enemy, and he's out of the will of God. He has God not in the right place in his life. He does not have God lifted up to the proper place in his life where he needs to be. And he flees from Saul. If he had just trusted in God, he would have known that God would have taken care of him, because God had special promises made to David. He did not have God in the proper position in his life, and that fear caused him to run to Gath, to the enemy, and he acts like a madman. Yep. And there's just things that should have never taken place because David's fear let him get the best of him, and he didn't lift God up to the proper place in his life. And here in this passage, the people of the children of Israel, this is really to Judah here. Ahaz is the king at this time, and if you know anything about Ahaz, he's a wicked king. The Bible tells us in the Chronicles and in the Kings that Ahaz was wicked. He sent his children through the fires. He burned his children in sacrifice to the god of Molech. He served Baal, and he burned incense and did all of these things to these other gods, and he was not worshiping God like he should have been. The Bible says that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like his father David did. He's a wicked king. And typically, when the king's wicked, the people are wicked. And that's almost always the case for the nation of Israel. The king is wicked, so the people are wicked as well. And I read some commentaries and tried to search around in the Bible to figure out what is going on exactly, where it says there in verse 12 that say ye not a confederacy to all them who shall say a confederacy. It's debated a little bit from what I read that there's either the 10 other tribes of Israel and Syria are trying to come together and form a confederacy, and they're wanting to invade Judah, or it's either Syria and Samaria that are trying to join together to invade Judah. And when I think of a confederacy, I think of like the Trade Confederation from Star Wars. It's just like a big group of people who have come together to do whatever. So that's really what's going on here. They're fearful of this confederacy that is saying that they will attack them, that this other more powerful nations is going to come and attack them and destroy them. But just let me say this, that if they had God in the right position in their hearts, if they had Him sanctified and lifted up to where He should have been, they would have never been fearful in this passage here. So they have this going on, and the Bible tells us in a couple verses later, down towards the bottom in verse 19, it says, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Basically, what they're doing in this passage here is that they're fearful of this confederacy that is saying that they're going to attack them, and it pushes them to go to really anything but God, the one that they should have went to. They're going to these wizards and these seers and these familiar spirits, it says. They're basically doing what modern-day witchcraft, like tarot cards and Ouija boards, they're trying to talk to the dead and to do all these things that the children of Israel should have never been doing. You guys look kind of like dumbfounded, these are the children of God, and they're looking to wizards and familiar spirits, and they're trying to speak to the dead and do all of these things that God had no intention for them to do. They lost sight of who God was, and they let their fear get the best of them, and it caused them to sin. We know that idolatry and witchcraft is sin. That's basically what this is in this passage. They're looking to everything but God to fix their fears and to help them with their fears. So what we can do as God's people is we can allow our fears to cause us to sin or to look to anything but God to help us with our fears. And like I mentioned earlier, David, he's running from Saul and he goes to Gath and he acts like a madman. But you also think of the girl in high school who gets invited to a party and she meets this guy at the party and has a one night stand with this guy at this party, and she ends up getting pregnant, and she goes through her options and she's thinking, I have a future. I have a scholarship to college, maybe. I have big plans for my life. And she's fearful that if she has this child, that all of those things are going to come to naught. So she won't be able to go to college. She'll have to take care of her baby. And she does the absolute worst thing that she could possibly do, and she gets an abortion. It's murder. She lets her fear drive her to do things that she should not be doing. And she's allowed her fear to push her to do the absolute worst thing that she could do instead of having God in the proper position in her life. Or you think of, if I said the name Dylan Roof, maybe some of you guys would know who that is. I think like 7 or 8 years ago, he walked into a church doing a Bible study with African American people, and he was a white supremacist, and he shot quite a few people inside the church. And his fear of African American people pushed him to do that sin. It pushed him to do a heinous crime like that. A hate crime is really what it was. But he allowed his fear to push him to do sinful things, things that he should not have done. And really the point that I'm trying to make here is that if we don't get our fear under control, if we don't allow God to help us with our fears, then who knows where we'll end up. The children of Israel, with the heritage that they had, that they were God's chosen people, we would think that they're not going to go seek after wizards and go to seers who are getting their information from the devil. They're trying to talk to the dead. They didn't have God lifted up into the proper position in their lives, and they allowed their fear of this confederacy to push them to do wicked, evil things that they should have never been doing. But God spoke to Isaiah. It says he spoke to him with a strong hand and told him that he should separate himself from these people because they're doing wrong. So I just have three quick points for us out of this passage that tell us how we can deal with our fear in a godly way. The first one, the Bible says that God told Isaiah to separate himself out from these people. Pastor Gaddis, or Brother Jason Gaddis, the pastor of the church that I was at in Oklahoma when I went to school at Heartland, he talked a little bit about the voices that we can hear in our lives and how we allow these voices to influence us. And that can have a lot to do with things that come into our lives that can cause us to fear. I don't really know like any current news right now. I don't have a TV, so I can't really see what's going on in the world. But I know things like COVID. COVID caused a lot of people to fear. And COVID a lot of people allowed COVID and the fear of COVID and getting COVID, it pushed them to get out of church. Or you think of the war in Ukraine. People are fearing, similar to this passage here, people are fearing a war and an invasion, and that fear caused them to flee, or it caused them to want to stay and fight there in Ukraine. But my point is that we need to separate ourselves out from that. People can allow the fear of COVID, or they can allow that fear to get into their hearts, and they get out of the will of God for their lives, they don't have God lifted up to the proper position in their lives. And people, like I said, people will get out of church. They will start doing things that they ought not be doing. And God tells him, God tells Isaiah and the other disciples that are there in Judah to separate themselves from those people. And I just did the object lesson last Sunday night, and I did it on separation, where I poured water into the cup and I poured oil in there, and you can see that they separate. But Christians in the world do not mix. Just like oil and water do not mix. People in the world are fearful of who knows what. You name it. They'll be fearful of anything. But Christians, we have God on our side. We have God there to help us. We have His Word. We don't have to fear like they fear, but we can rely on God. And we can separate ourselves out from what they fear, and we can be separate in the fact that we don't let our fear drive us to utter darkness, like the Bible says. But we can lift God up in our lives, and He can be our fear and He can be our dread, like it says there in the passage. And the second point that I have, the first one was separate yourselves from the people around you, but the Bible also says seal up the testimony in your hearts. The Bible says there in verse 16, it says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. What he's telling Isaiah there is, I've given you my word, and you need to seal it up, and you need to bind it up in your hearts. Isaiah was literally writing the word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But he's telling the disciples there that you need to seal it up. You need to bind it up in your hearts. And when fear comes, when people are saying to you that this confederacy is going to come invade, you can rely on the Word of God to help you overcome your fear. And the Word of God is special. And I think everybody in this room could attest to that. When many of us were fearful of death, when many of us were fearful of what this life could hold for us in the future, the Word of God is there to comfort us. Before we were saved, we had no hope. We were fearful of death. But we took God at His word, and God says, if you believe in me, I'll save you. And when we believe in the word, we're basically sealing up the testimony in our hearts that I believe in God, and I'm trusting God to save me when I die. And God will do that because God is faithful to His word. But also the great leader of Israel, the one that I mentioned earlier that ran because of his fear, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what we need to do when we're facing fear, is we need to read God's word, we need to memorize God's word, and when we're in those times of fear that can lead us to temptations, We can recall the word of God, and we can trust in the word of God that He's going to be there to help us in our times of fear. The last point that I have is sanctify the Lord in your heart. The Bible says in verse 13, it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your dread, and let Him be your fear. Or let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread, is what it says. If you flip back a couple pages in the book of Isaiah, you see the great experience that Isaiah had in chapter 6, where Isaiah sees God high and lifted up, and it says that his train filled the temple. And I'm sure when all this is going on, that's probably one thing that Isaiah was thinking of, is that God's train filled the temple. And the train is many kings when they would overtake another king or another kingdom, they would take part of the other king's cape and they would tie it onto their cape, and they would like walk. Or when you get married and your wife has the big long train behind her and she's walking, I wanted to carry my wife down the steps of the chapel that we got married at, but she had like one of those really long trains or whatever, so I didn't, because I didn't want to trip and both of us face plant. But what it's saying in this passage is that God's train fills the temple. He's the ruler of all nations. Yeah. He's the one that has overcome the whole world. And Isaiah is probably thinking of that. He sees the cherubims that are worshiping, and they're covering their face and they're crying, holy, 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 because that's who God is. God is holy and He's all powerful. He's already overcome all kingdoms and all nations. And this is what Isaiah is saying here. He's saying, sanctify the Lord in your heart. I've seen the Lord, and I've seen how high and lifted he up, and I've seen how high and lifted up he is. And I've seen his train that he's all powerful. He's powerful than any king or any nation that could come against us. He's saying, sanctify the Lord in your heart and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. We have no reason to fear the things that the world fears. We have no reason to fear. We have no reason to fear COVID. We have no reason to fear invasions of other countries. We have no reason to fear whatever fear comes into our lives. We may doubt our salvations because we're doubting the word of God. If we've done what God says we need to do according to his word, if we believe on him and call out to him for salvation, then he's going to save us. That's one thing that I've struggled with in the past, and I haven't really told anybody about that except my wife, that I struggled with salvation pretty much all the way through Bible college. And I know I did what God told me to do. But I think my thing was I thought it was too easy. And it really is too easy. Or it's not too easy, but it is easy that God says, just believe in me and call out to me and I'll save you. But that's what God's word says. And if we do that, then if we're trusting in his word, he's going to save us when we die. But the people of Judah let their fear push them to do sinful things. But there is a godly way that we can deal with our fear. Fear is something that is going to come into all of our lives. There's going to be money problems that will come into our lives. Many times when people have money struggles or financial struggles, their response is one thing or the other. Really, they'll trust in God to take care of them, and they'll do what God says. They'll give their tithe, and they'll give other offerings on top of that, and they're going to trust God to take care of them. But on the other side of that is, I can't afford to give to God. I can't afford to not. Yeah, you can't afford to not give to God. If God tells us that if we give to him what he's worthy of, then he's going to give us all we need. People say it all the time, well, you can't outgive God. And you can't because he owns the cattle on, what is it, 1,000 hills or whatever? You can't outgive God. The people of Judah allowed their fear to push them to do sinful things. But if we do these three simple steps here that God tells Isaiah and the other faithful disciples to do, he says, separate yourselves out from the wicked people that you're living amongst and seal up the word of God in your hearts and sanctify me. And if you do all of these things, then there's no reason for you to fear. Isaiah knew that God had overcome all his enemies already and he had nothing to fear. And God has overcome all of your enemies. God has overcome all your fears. God has overcome all of your problems. Anything that can bring fear into our lives, God has already overcome that. God has a way to deal with it. Really, all we need to do to face our fears in a godly way is to lift God up in our lives to the place that he deserves. The people of Judah lost sight of who God really was. And that's why King Ahaz and many of the people were burning their children. They're sacrificing their children to Molech. They're serving Baal. They're burning incense and doing all of these things in the high places. They lost sight of who God really was. And they lost sight of what God had done for them in the past. And when we as Christians, we lose sight of who God is, just like they do, it's easy for us to allow our fear to overtake our lives. And we find ourselves in hopeless situations like verses 21 and 22, where it says that they're going to pass through this trial and they're going to come out and they're going to curse God. They're going to curse their king because King Ahaz really led them to this place of desolation and all these other things. But they're going to curse their king and they're going to curse God and they're going to be driven to utter darkness. Like I said, Dylan Roof, the guy that walked into the prison, he's probably rotting somewhere in a prison right now because of what he did. Or the girl who got an abortion because she made a wrong choice, she has to live with that the rest of her life. She has to live with the fact that she murdered a human. And I read some statistics, and I think it was something like 60% of women who get abortions, they struggle with suicidal thoughts and depression and all of these things. That when we let our fear overcome our lives and take over us like that, and it causes us to sin, that we're driven to utter darkness and despair and all of the things like that. That there's no comfort and there's no peace in making those choices. But we can lift God up to the proper position in our lives, and He can help us to overcome our fears. Isaiah and the faithful disciples, they separated themselves out from the wicked people in Judah. And they sealed up the word of God in their hearts, and they looked and they really tried to see God for who He was, and they sanctified Him in their hearts, and God helped them to overcome and to deal with their fears. And it could have been the same way for the people of Judah. There's in this room, I'm sure there's many things that people struggle with. There's fears that people struggle with in this room. It could be financial. You might be struggling with your salvation. You might be fearful of what if God hasn't saved me or something like that. We can look to God and sanctify Him in our hearts to help us to deal with these fears, so that we aren't driven to despair, we aren't driven to utter darkness, but that we see God for who He really is, and He can help us to overcome our fears. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the day, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We just thank You for the book of Isaiah, Lord, where He writes these things, Lord, for us to read and to look at and to study and understand. And God, I pray that You'd help us all, Lord, when fears come into our lives, that we'll just look to You, and Lord, that You'll help us, that we'd just sanctify You in our hearts, Lord, and we'd look to You to help us to be faithful servants of You. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
God, eyes are closed. Certainly, we do live in a day and time where there's a lot of fear-mongering, I guess we could say. I tell you, people look to anything they can. They want to breed fear. We need to live lives of faith, not fear. Looking to the Lord. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to talk to the Lord, respond to the preaching of the Word of God. I encourage you to do that. Maybe you're struggling with that area of fear in your life right now. Something you're struggling with. I'm telling you, God's the answer. Allowing God to be in control is the answer. Just being mindful, nothing's ever occurred to God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's not going to change. He's not going to leave you out in the cold. He's got everything under control.